So, I want to show you the structures that I found in my friend Zed's writing. Okay, so at one point I just picked out some of his articles that I liked and that I saw as standing out from one another, and maybe also his other articles, but just different, where I realized, okay, he had different kind of subheads there. I mostly went by analyzing the subsections. And I started to look at these articles, and I just asked myself, what's the structure here? What is Zed doing? What is he leading the reader through? And so the one I want to start with is called The Most Important Asset in Your Life. And it's about our attention, okay? So how can we manage our attention better? And yes, three tactics that we can use to do so. And then he says that it's really important that we do this because how we spend our time, basically how we spend our attention, is going to determine the quality of our life. Okay, so I looked at this one, and so things like this are easy to stand out or to pick out at least, because once when they have numbers, it's like 1, 2, 3, you know, there's some kind of list component here. So that there has to be some kind of structure that you can analyze, right? And so the sample structure that I found was that at first he said, we think X, but X is wrong. Okay, so he pointed out that money isn't the, he starts the article with, money isn't the most important thing in the world, your time is. And then he digs into that a little deeper. There are diminishing returns on how you spend your time. Our time is limited, and so on. Yeah, we think we have more. Is there more? And then he says, I'd argue otherwise. The most important in your asset in your life isn't time, but attention. And so he starts basically poking a hole into something that we usually take at face value, or we've accepted this notion because it's a very popular notion that your time is the most important thing. And he says, well, if you have a lot of time but you don't control your attention, because you know you're just wasting all of it, you're wasting your attention on, let's say, meaningless things, then it doesn't matter if you have 100 hours a week to spend on social media, right? And just look through stuff. So we think we time is the most important thing, but it's not. Our attention, is it? Okay. And then he says that, yeah, attention can be diluted to expand. Attention can be used to expand our time, basically, because you can get more out of the same time that other people have by using your attention better. Okay. And he says, well, actually, but this is hard. Okay. So based on this sort of new insight, he builds a case for solving the problem of how to deal with this insight. So, okay, attention matters more than time, but then how do we best manage our attention? And then he says, well, the world is designed against you, smartphone addictions, okay, it goes into technology. And he says, here are three methods that will improve the quality of your life. So, basically, he said, we need to manage attention. The problem is the world is designed against attention management, or basically it's designed to suck our attention out of us with technology in specific. And then the solution is mindfulness meditation, single tasking, and routine detachment. Okay, so there are three exercises that we can do. And then the stakes have never been higher. Why does it matter? And this is a nice way to close out, because when you remind the reader of why it's important what he or she just learned, it's a lot easier to think of the article as a great article. And it's easier for them to act on the information too, but they'll also hold the article in a higher view, because Zed didn't leave them hanging. He didn't say, here's a problem, here's the solution, now go have fun with it. He said, here's a problem, here's a solution, and here's why it's really, really important that you actually do something with this. And so that's how he closed. It may just be the only thing in your way, you know, protecting your attention. So that's a really powerful way to close out the article. Okay, cool. One structure I found, right? Took a couple minutes. Well, reading the article, obviously, and then just some extra time of analysis. But I found more. This article, sadly, he deleted it, but I still found it in Wayback Machine. It's called Five Mental Biases That Cause Poor Decisions. Okay. And I noticed he started in a similar way, where he pointed out something that is wrong, or that we tend to get wrong. And I called this insight slash problem, okay? Because it reminded me of the we think X, but X is wrong. But he started with an insight. So he says that our traditional economic models assume that we act as rational agents, so that people are rational. So, and then he says, well, actually, we're not, okay? We know that we have limitations, that we have these mental biases, for example, that limit our thinking and how well we could do it. And then he just gives some information to shed more light on that problem. Okay, so this is more of an, again, pointing out that there's something wrong or giving us an insight, and then just in this case, not delivering something actionable, but just more information. Because with biases, that's generally how it works. You have to be aware of them to see them happening, and then you can automatically stop them. So it's not a problem of stopping them when you know what they are. It's knowing what they are and that they exist and that they might be influencing you. And then he just runs through 5 biases and explains them, gives examples, and so on. And then he concludes with, how does this information help? Okay, so he goes back to psychology and the research and the science behind it. And then he dips into the scientific argument that says, well, can we actually work against these biases? And then he says, yes, some researchers argue that we can. We will still make errors, we will never be perfect, but it definitely helps to be aware of them. So seek out your biases, internalize their existence, and think before you act. You'll be much better for it. And again, that's kind of like, why does it matter? Okay, you will be a better person, you will be able to think better. So how does this information help? So it's similar to the other one, but it's more of an informative one. But again, in this case, the information is kind of the action itself. So this is similar, but I realized, well, maybe there's something else where you could just, you know, you give an insight, you provide background information on that insight, and then just explain to the reader how they can start using that. And then there's more onus on the reader to do something. But for in some cases, that just makes perfect sense. Another article of his that I analyzed was The Simple Art of Getting Anything You Want. And this I found interesting because he talked about Daniel Day-Lewis. And this is something I try to do too, where I talk about individuals that aren't talked about as much. No one has written an article like this about Daniel Day-Lewis that I know of. And yet Daniel Day-Lewis is, I think, the only male or the only actor ever, or the only male actor maybe, but in any case, he's gotten 3 Academy Awards, okay? So he's won 3 Oscars, and he's the only man who's ever accomplished that, which is crazy because he doesn't have that many movies. And so what Zed is digging into here is that he is ruthless about what he takes on and how dedicated he is to his work. So he will only take on projects where he can do his multi-year prep that he wants to do, and really get insanely into the details of the actor, of the character, and really become the character. And so the structure I found here is that he picked a weird case to begin with. So just an odd case or something, again, you wouldn't usually hear about, okay? Daniel Day-Lewis isn't an actor that's very widely talked about in articles, at least not in articles like this. So always just for context, right? So in Medium articles, this is a rather peculiar case, a rather strange actor to choose. So, and then he says, what part of the picture are we missing? Okay, so because what's peculiar about this case is that he has won the Academy Award more than anyone, but he has only had 6 films since 1998. And that's crazy, right? So in the past 20 years, he's done 6 movies, and 3 times he got the Academy Award. How crazy is that, right? So what's going on here is essentially the question, because if he can get 3 Oscars with this few movies, why do other people who make, you know, 2 movies a year not get that? And so, yeah, so what are we missing here? And then he goes into how does this case, this particular actor, how did they solve that part, okay? So how did they solve the part of the picture that's been missing? How did Daniel Day-Lewis fill in this missing part of the picture of how do I get, you know, how do I become an insanely great actor and accumulate all these accolades in doing so few movies? And what he then goes to argue in that you're not just choosing things, you're also automatically saying no to other things. So generally just how we choose things, okay? And that basically everything you say yes to is a no to something else. And in this case, what he argues is that, well, the more things you say yes to, the smaller each of your yeses gets for each specific thing that you choose, okay? So Daniel Day-Lewis just takes on very, very few projects, but goes all in on those. Like he says a very, very big yes to these. And Again, then he goes into how Daniel Day-Lewis solves that. So the part of the picture that we're missing is that we're dividing our attention, basically. And then how does Daniel Day-Lewis solve this? Well, he has multi-year preparations, okay? So he read over 100 books to prepare to become Abraham Lincoln, right? A makeup artist, like even his body had makeup on it, and so on. So he goes to extreme lengths to actually become the character. And he can only do that because he allows himself like multi-year preparation for a single role, a single movie. So that's why he can do that. And then again, it all goes back to why does that make your life better, okay? So can you really have anything? So yes, well, generally what our problem is that we don't focus, we're not long-term dedicated, so we can't have everything that we want, especially not if we dilute our efforts across too many areas. And we're just uncomfortable with committing to a single thing. But if we did, that would probably add up to a lot more success a lot more quickly than we usually think. So again, wrap up with sort of why is this important? How can this benefit your life? Which is always smart. And then another structure that I found was in his post about Bruce Lee, How to Think Like Nobody Else. And in this case, this was interesting because it's somewhat analogous to the one that we just discussed with Daniel Day-Lewis. But instead of choosing someone who's not commonly chosen, he chose someone who is commonly chosen to write about in this context. Bruce Lee is, he's not super popular among self-improvement writers, but he is getting up there. So he has definitely, there are quite a few articles referencing Bruce Lee and his philosophy and his success and so on. But what he does in this case is he shows us Bruce Lee from a new angle. So usually people will talk about how he became a movie star and this great martial arts fighter and so on and blah, blah, blah. And then what Zet is saying that Bruce Lee had all these interesting thoughts and introspective habits and all these crazy, these philosophical ideas that he used to share, like on a talk show saying, I'm not Chinese, I'm not American, I'm a human being. And so he says, well, there's a lot to learn from Bruce Lee, the icon and the athlete, but there's also a lot to learn from Bruce Lee, the philosopher. And that's not an angle that people usually look at when they think about Bruce Lee. So interesting, right? So he just says, let's look at the same person everybody else looks at, but see something different. And that's always a great place to start. So what he then does, obviously, he draws new lessons. And this is great. This is a very sort of thankful article to write because as with high concept headlines, as we talked about before, once you look at something from a different perspective, you're bound to see different things, okay? So when Zed started looking at Bruce Lee and said, well, what philosophical things can we learn from Bruce Lee? The answers he comes up with, because it's a new angle, are gonna be new and creative, okay? Either way. So then he shares, I think, three things. Know that no dogma contains all answers. So Bruce Lee was always picking from different styles, not just in fighting, but also in life and conclusions. He wasn't religious, right? So he just picked the best of everything instead of letting one sort of way of thinking dominate his life. Then he built true intellectual confidence. So basically by going to more different sources and not allowing anyone to sort of rule, he could build a lot of confidence that, you know, most existing dogmas are just wrong and existing things, and that he could with confidence say, no, I don't believe this. I want to see all the other evidence. And so he had, the more sources you have, the easier it gets for you to reject common knowledge or whatever. So he has that, and then he has true self-expression over imitation. And these lessons are sort of, you can see they build on one another, right? So the intellectual confidence comes from rejecting dogma, and from his intellectual confidence, he can choose self-expression over imitation, because then he doesn't, because if he knows that, you know, imitating anyone is sort of a foolish endeavor, well, then he might as well be himself, right? And so these lessons, they build on one another, but these are all philosophical lessons that Zed draw from Bruce Lee. And then at the end, he brings it home with, why does the new angle matter? So once again, it's, if you're thinking the same things as everyone else, you're generally also making the same mistakes as them. Thinking for yourself isn't just optimal, it's the only way to get ahead. So your mind is responsible, give it the right edge. So again, he brings it all home by saying, why is this important? Why should we look at this person from this new angle? And why should we use these lessons why should we emphasize those? And why should we try to, you know, live those lessons in our own lives? Interesting, right? So an interesting study. So I spent maybe 2 3 hours total, I don't know, reading his stuff and so on and coming up with these structures. And those were such helpful starting points because I started using these in my own works. And when I had articles that were similar, were, for example, one I wrote about Justin Timberlake, that was kind of like the weird case that he did with Daniel Day-Lewis, because Justin Timberlake is also really successful in a lot of different domains. And we're like, huh, well, he enters an industry and then he sort of instantly makes it to the top in like 2 3 attempts, and what's going on there? So I used that structure and built off of that. So with a few hours of research and looking at the people you already like, so you can just start reading whoever's work you already like and start analyzing that. You can find several structures, small ones, easy ones to follow through to start experimenting with, okay? So you don't have to start with the crazy stuff. Again, as I said, this is all incremental, it builds. So this is basically, I started here, I built, I iterated, and then I got into deeper sort of storytelling, theory and the bigger structures, the bigger frameworks, and so on, and started modifying those. But it's super easy to start if you just start looking around. Be aware of your context, your environment, look through the platform, other content on where you are writing, and always try to learn something from that.